Thanks for checking out this week's message. I hope that it's helpful for you wherever you are on your spiritual journey. Here at Restore, we are a place where anyone can have a seat at the table and everyone can experience the extravagant love of Jesus. So I hope you walk away from this message knowing that you are deeply loved by God and that you can be fully loved by a church community. And if you don't have that, we would love to connect with you here at Restore. You can go to restoreaustin.org to find out more. You know, back when I was a youth pastor, there was this high school student in our youth group who was really struggling with where to go to college. Now, this was one of these kids who is like super earnest, you know, like just really wanted to do what God wanted him to do. You know, didn't want anything else, no outside influences, just wanted to do what God wanted him to do. He also wanted to be a veterinarian, right? So he'd actually narrowed it down to Texas A&M and Colorado State. These two top vet programs in the country. But like I said, he was truly torn between these two, just wanting to do what God wanted him to do. And so we prayed about it for weeks. Like every week at the end of youth group, he would ask for, you know, prayer requests and prayer time. Like, just God, please let God reveal to me where I'm supposed to go to college, Texas A&M or Colorado State. And then one Sunday morning, I walk into church and I hear him yell from across the lobby, "Zach, I know where God wants me to go to school." He runs over to me and blurts out, "Colorado State. God wants me to go to Colorado State." "That's awesome, man," I said. "Colorado State's a great school. How did you finally decide that that was where God wanted you to go?" He said, "Well, I was reading my Bible the other day, and I came across Psalm 121:1, which says, 'I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from?'" And then he just stops. Looks at me, and I wait, thinking there has to be more to this, maybe another verse coming later. But after a few seconds of silence, he says, "Don't you see College Station? It's flat. But Fort Collins, where Colorado State is, mountains everywhere. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from?" I said, "I guess God really does work in mysterious ways, bud." Now, that story is completely true. Although I feel like it's kind of a ridiculous example, right? Because most of us, especially adults, right, we wouldn't read a verse about mountains and declare it to be the voice of God directing us to our chosen university. But I bet every single one of us have experienced a Bible verse being plucked out of context and used in ways that it was never meant to be used. I had a seminary professor who used to say it like this: "A text without context is a pretext for a proof text. A text without context is a pretext for a proof text." And proof texting is just using a verse or a passage to kind of prop up an ideology or make a case for something that Jesus and the whole of Scripture does not actually support. And this happens all the time. It's such a significant problem, in fact, in the church, and one I talk about so often that someone recently bought me this notebook. I don't know if you can read it, but it says, "I can do all things through a Bible verse taken out of context." And it's blank, so you can write whatever you want in there. Any Bible verse out of context, God will give it to you. This is kind of, I think, one of those like laugh to keep from crying kind of things for a lot of us, right? Like some of you are like, "Ah," some of you are like, "Ah." Because this is traumatic. Some of you, there have been weapons or there have been Bible verses weaponized against you in ways that have been tremendously harmful and painful, devastating even. Because while sometimes these verses are taken out of context in very innocuous ways, like my little friend in the youth group and his college choice, other times it happens in ways that really hurt people. So today, we begin this new teaching series in our year of Bible stories for grown-ups called Theology Stories. And over these next 6 weeks, we're going to look at some of the most commonly quoted and often misunderstood verses in the New Testament. And today, we are focusing on Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Next Sunday, as I said earlier, we're doing 1 Timothy 2:12. "I do not permit a woman to teach or assume authority over a man. She must be quiet." As I said, our executive pastor, Lindsay Contreras, is going to be teaching most of that sermon, which I'm very excited about. We're going to celebrate communion afterward. It's going to be an amazing Sunday. You don't want to miss that. But just like the rest of this year, we're tackling these verses because so many of them have been used in ways that not only really hurt people, but have even driven folks away from the church and sometimes even Christianity altogether. And so our hope is to engage these verses through the lenses of what we know to be true about God through Christ and what we know to be true about the context and culture in which they were written. And the end goal is interpreting these verses in ways that lead us toward Christ-likeness and healthy community and flourishing and fruitfulness, all these things that Jesus and God said were most important. That's our goal. And I think this is vitally important work, right? Because as I insinuated earlier, you can twist the Bible. You can use it to say just about anything that you want. In her great book on the Bible called Inspired, Rachel Held Evans puts it like this. The truth is you can bend scripture to say just about anything you want it to say. You can bend it until it breaks. If you're looking for Bible verses with which to support slavery, you will find them. If you're looking for verses with which to abolish slavery, you will find them. If you're looking for verses with which to oppress women, you will find them. If you're looking for verses with which to honor and celebrate women, you will find them. If you are looking for reasons to wage war, there are plenty. If you're looking for reasons to promote peace, there are plenty more. If you're looking for an outdated and irrelevant ancient text, then that's exactly what you'll see. If you're looking for truth, that's exactly what you will find. I think Rachel is exactly right, which is why approaching all of Scripture in context is so vitally important. And this starts with a posture of humility. Realizing that none of us belong to the original audience of Scripture, right? We are not ancient Israelites. We are not first century Near Easterners living under Roman occupation. This means that we don't intrinsically understand the biblical context. So we must do the hard work of trying to learn the setting and the culture and the author and the audience and the purpose and the language and the genre of what we're reading in order to do good biblical interpretation. There's lots of incredible tools to do this that I've mentioned a bunch of times. I'm also always happy to help and give other tools if you are interested in those things. I think one of the best ways to say it is that we must learn to read Scripture over the shoulder of the original audience. And as biblical scholar Justo Gonzalez says, the notion that we read the New Testament exactly as the early Christians did, without any weight of tradition coloring our interpretation, is an illusion. It is also a dangerous illusion, for it tends to absolutize our interpretation, confusing it with the Word of God. I often talk about how I believe that the Bible is inspired. I do not believe that all of our interpretations of it are inspired. The verse we're looking at today is a great example of this. Philippians 4:13, probably alongside John 3:16, is the most popular verse in the entire Bible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We see this verse all over the place, right? And like I said, it may come across as like fairly innocuous at first. It feels basically the same as any other inspirational quote we might see printed on posters or embroidered on a pillow or something like that. I remember when I was playing football in college, this verse was written on the whiteboard in our weight room. We used to have to get up at 5 a.m. for workouts every morning in the off season. And believe it or not, sometimes it's hard to get motivated to lift weights at 5 a.m., especially when you're a college student. So whenever someone was having trouble finishing or slacking off during agility drills, we had a coach who would come and he would tap the board really hard and he would say, get that last rep up. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Powerful stuff, no doubt about it. But the problem is that this inspirational quote actually props up an incredibly damaging view of God. Namely, that God is some kind of genie who exists to help us have better workouts, or get the next promotion, or buy nicer stuff, or get our kids a scholarship, or whatever else our hearts desire. Again, this may sound innocuous at first, but what happens when we don't get what our heart desires? What happens when we pray, and we tithe, and we read the Bible, and we go to church, and we serve, and we volunteer, and things still don't work out the way we want them to? I have this friend named Javier who grew up in a church with Philippians 4:13 literally painted on the wall in the sanctuary. Now, Javier didn't ever know his dad, but his mom took him and his little sisters to church every single time the doors were open. She diligently tithed, even though her income was meager, and she volunteered in the nursery every Sunday morning, holding and rocking babies, telling them how much Jesus loves them. Javier once told me she's the most faithful person I have ever known about his mom. But when Javier was 16, his mom got sick. When she went to the doctor, they found stage 4 cervical cancer. She was given 6 months to live. The first place they went after the doctor's office was their church. Javier's mom wanted the pastor to pray over her. She sat in the pew right underneath that painting of Philippians 4:13 as the pastor laid hands on her and prayed. Javier, to this day, still remembers part of that pastor's prayer where he said, God, your word says, just like it says on this wall, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So we know that through the power of Christ, this woman is going to beat cancer and experience miraculous healing. But Javier's mom passed away 4 months later. And do you know what this terrible use of Philippians 4:13 did to Javier's faith? Absolutely destroyed it. He walked away from church. He walked away from God. When I first met him, he did not want anything to do with anything religious. This is why Justo Gonzalez calls this kind of biblical interpretation a dangerous illusion. Because these illusions shatter like dropping a sheet of glass, and when that happens, the shards go everywhere and people get all cut up by the broken pieces. And it wasn't until Javier talked with another pastor almost 2 decades later that he was able to start to deconstruct the harmful ways this verse and many others had been used in his life and reconstruct a faith more built around the person and work of Jesus. And through that, he was able to see Philippians 4:13 in context. And by God's grace, the biblical passage that had been used like a weapon against him was transformed into a tool of healing in his life. Because when you understand this verse, the way that the author intended it, it's really quite beautiful. So let's look at it together in context. Again, by the way, if you're ever wanting to better understand these contexts, culture, genre, etc., I've got great recommendations for resources. I'd love to give you those things. But a really easy way to get the main context, even if you don't have any other resources except scripture, is to just read the surrounding verses of a passage, right? We like to just grab that one verse, you know, put it in our pocket like a little totem that we can carry around and use and take out when we need a little bit of inspiration, right? We need a little luck. But that really doesn't work the way that scripture is written. So if you want to better understand the context, just start by reading all of the verses surrounding any given verse. And that's what we're going to do here. Philippians, where this verse is, it's a letter written by a persecutor of Christians turned pastor named Paul. And we know from the first chapter of this letter that Paul is writing this letter from prison. And he wrote it to the church in Philippi mostly as a kind of like thank you note for their support for him during really difficult times. But he also spends part of the letter offering encouragement and support to them as well. In chapter 4, in the last section of this letter, Paul reminds these early Christians to rejoice always, he says, to bring all their worries to God in prayer. He promises that God's peace is always available to them, no matter what they may face. And then we come to the section which houses the infamous Philippians 4:13. Paul thanks them again for the support that they continue to send to him. And then he says this, starting in Philippians 4, verse 10. I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, for I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And when you see that verse in context, It's easy to see that Paul is not casting God as some magical genie who grants your every wish if you're just faithful enough. He's not saying that God will get you a promotion or heal you if you just pray hard enough. He's not promising a life of blessings if you just follow all of God's rules. Paul is saying that faith in Jesus empowers him to endure any circumstance, no matter how difficult. Paul can be content in any situation, even as he writes from a prison cell, through the encouragement of Christ and his fellow Christians. Jesus gives him strength even when he has none left. That truth is what ended up really resonating with Javier all those years later, when he found himself in a prison of his own, filled with grief and despair and anger after the death of his mom, really upset at God and those who had taught him about God. This message of hope in the midst of pain was a healing balm for his soul. And this is why I believe so strongly in the power of Jesus working through Scripture to promote healing and wholeness in our lives. I saw it happen with Javier, and I've seen it happen with hundreds of other folks too over the years. As I've said so many times throughout this year of Bible Stories for Grownups and over the last 8 years of our church, bad Bible interpretation really hurts people. But I don't think that the answer to bad Bible interpretation is to just throw the Scriptures away. I think the answer to bad Bible interpretation is good Bible interpretation, because good Bible interpretation helps heal people, helps promote wholeness and flourishing. That's what Javier found out, and it's what a lot of us, I know, because I know your stories, have experienced as well. We really can find hope in the midst of pain, joy in spite of hardship, and peace that surpasses understanding through Jesus. Sometimes it comes in the form of this kind of calming presence within us, the Holy Spirit comforting us in a time of need. Other times it comes in the form of the community around us, folks offering tangible support when we're going through hard times. It's not all up to us. We don't need to just rely on our own strength all the time. Just like Paul, we can endure all things, any circumstance, every situation, through Jesus Christ and our community who offer their strength to us. As Scripture says, as Paul says elsewhere, when I'm weak, I actually know that I'm strong. Because when I recognize my own need, I get help from God and others. So my encouragement to us today is simply this. Number one, seek out support from Jesus and your community when you are in need. Don't try to do it alone. Don't try to pull yourself up by those bootstraps. Don't try to white knuckle it and just get through it. Reach out. Pray. Text me. Call a friend. You don't have to do this alone. And then number two, offer support to your neighbor when they're in need. Whether that's your literal neighbor, your neighbor here at church, somebody you meet somewhere. Don't go through things alone and help other people realize they don't have to go through things alone. I gotta tell you, that's a lot of what the Christian life boils down to. Relying on the power of Jesus through the Spirit to meet our needs in community, and allowing Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit to use us to meet other people's needs. There's not a lot more to it in an action-oriented faith than that. That's what we're trying to do. It really is that simple. And the next time you hear Philippians 4:13 taken out of context, remember, the truth is so much better than some inspirational quote or motivational catchphrase. That verse is a promise that Jesus is always with you, working for your good through the Spirit of God and through your community, no matter what life throws your way. I want to conclude this morning with this ancient Christian prayer that summarizes the actual in-context truth of Philippians 4:13 so much better than any throw pillow or inspirational poster ever could. It's from a man named St. Clement of Alexandria. Clement was a leader of the Roman church during the first century. Some scholars actually consider him to be the second person ever to be named pope, following only the Apostle Peter. We know from church history that he held this office from AD 88 to AD 99 when he passed away. And many faith traditions, including our Catholic siblings, believe that St. Clement was led to faith and baptized by Peter himself. And among many other things, St. Clement is known for his letter to the church in Corinth that has been preserved from the first century. And in this letter, he includes what has become known as the oldest Christian prayer outside of the Bible. And it's simply called Prayer for All Needs. And I'm going to read it over us. So I'd invite you, you can read along with me. The verses will be on the screen. You can also close your eyes and just kind of let it wash over you. Whatever you need this morning, I want to invite you to participate in this way. Here's what the prayer says. We beg you, Lord, to be our help and our support. Free us from our troubles. Take pity on the lowly. Raise up those who have fallen, give help to the poor and health to the sick, and bring home those who have wandered away. Feed the hungry, ransom the captives, give strength to the weak and courage to the faint-hearted. Let all peoples come to know that you alone are God, that Jesus Christ is your Son, and that we are your people and the sheep of your flock. For by your acts you made visible the everlasting structure of the universe and set the earth on its foundations. For all generations you have been faithful and just in your judgments and wonderful in your power and majesty. Wisely you have created and wisely you have kept things in being. All that we see shows your goodness to all who trust in you. You are faithful, kind, and merciful. Come, Lord, let your face shine upon us so that we may peacefully enjoy all good things. May your powerful hand be a roof over our heads, and may your strength preserve us from all wrongdoing. Give peace and harmony to us and to all the inhabitants of the earth, as you gave them to our fathers who called on you with trust and faith. You alone can give us these gifts and confer these favors on us. We put our trust in you through Jesus Christ, our high priest, the guardian of our souls. Through him be glory and majesty to you now and through all generations until the end of time. Amen. I just want to say that there's something really incredible in knowing that over the last 2,000 years, those words have been prayed by literally billions of Christians in every city and language around the world. Like an old trail through the woods, our siblings in Christ have walked this difficult road so many times that it has become smoother for us to walk on. We can look in front of us and see the footsteps of those who have come before and be reminded that we can keep walking in faith too. Because that same Holy Spirit that lived in St. Clement, that lived in the Apostle Paul, that lived in the church in Philippians resides in us and in our church right now. And we know, just like they did, that we can endure all things through Jesus Christ who gives us strength. Let me pray. Lord God, you are so good. We are so grateful for who you are and the ways in which you show up in our lives. I pray that through these words of Paul, properly placed in their context and properly understood in the ways that he wrote them, that we would know that through you and your strength, we can endure anything. That through the community and love of the people around us, we can get through any circumstance. That you are trustworthy, that you always have been. So I pray, God, you would impart that truth upon our hearts. Remind us of the way you love and care for us, and then move us toward love and care for our neighbor. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.